WMNF is accepting volunteer applications to be part of our on-air team.
And welcome. This is Latinx.
Welcome to the Soul Kitchen. It is I, your resident chef, Big Eddie G.
Join your favorite voices on 88.5 FM, WMNF.org, and our HD channels. If you've always dreamed of being on the radio,
I would love to be on the radio.
Now's your chance.
Join your listening-supported radio station, WMNF.
Apply under the programming tab at WMNF.org.
And you are listening to WMNF 88.5 in Tampa, Florida. Hi, I'm Mary Glennie.
And I'm Arlene Engelhardt. And we are in substituting for Tanya this morning. And we're so happy to be with you again. It's great to be back in the studio. And we wish you all wonderful, happy holidays.
And in keeping with the theme of this show, which is so important, most of the show we're going to actually be giving you some sustainable holiday eco-friendly ways to have a good eco-friendly holiday. But tomorrow is at 10:59. Tuesday at 10:59 a.m. It is the winter solstice, and this is the time of year when one stops, and this has been going on historically for thousands of years, that people of all cultures took time to stop, because actually the stars were the guides of their lives. And so they watched very carefully because they timed their plantings and their harvesting and their reflection time based on the sun and the stars. And so at this particular time of year, the winter solstice, the sun seems to stand still. And actually, this was a frightening and a propitious time. And so they took measure of their crops. Were they going to be able to get through the winter? Was it going to be too harsh? The elderly, the young, would they make it? And so it was a serious time. And, you know, I think that if we were more in touch with the night skies, with watching the sunrise and the sunset, do you honestly think we'd have the climate crisis we have now? I don't think so. I really don't. There's something quite beautiful. You know, I remember as a kid in Illinois that the dogs and I, my father raised all kinds of dogs. And so the dogs and I would go out at night and we would just sit there and contemplate the stars. And there is no way that you can look up at the stars and wonder, is there life in that planet? What about that one? Why is Aldebaran red? Why does that have a green shift? And I honestly think if we were that much contact with our night skies and our sunrises and sunsets, I don't think we'd have nearly the climate change crisis. But in line with this show, that this is not going to be much about the solstice, but I do want to put on this song because actually, I don't know, this is the kind of a song to me, Lynn Miles. It's got that kind of reflective, kind of happy, sad tune, you know, that it says that kind of period, because you evaluate the good things, you evaluate the bad things. And there's something about Lynn Miles walking through her town, knowing she's going to be leaving on a concert tour, watching the beauty of the whiteness come on the dark silhouettes of trees and buildings, etc. And think back to when you saw the first snowfall of the winter. And let's for a moment spend time in that time. So, Lynn Miles, The Last Snowfall, last night.
Last night I watched the first snow. Floating down, land on the streets of the sun. songs like I wish I had a river that I could skate away on. And then I watch the rooftops change from black to white. And all the cats and dogs went home for the night. And the birds
Aren't there moments in your life that you remember that it was going to be the close of a period and the opening of another? And, you know, maybe you were leaving for high school to go to college. Maybe you were leaving town for a different job. You know, maybe you were going to the service. And then there was, you know, kind of trepidation. There was, you know, remembering what was good, but also anticipating hopefully good, but maybe bad. And so this is this time of period that actually, and it's gone for thousands of years, that this was the time, you know, you not only measured your crops and you hoped literally you physically survived, but people intuitively realized they had to take measure of themselves. They had to make sure that they felt that they were on their right path. And, you know, if you think about it, if you sit there and observe the stars, we're not Einsteins, most of us. And so when we think about gravity, you think gravity in space, what does that mean? You know, I know Newton gravity, you know, apple comes down, bang. But what does it mean in space? And what does it mean? How does it bend light? And you think, well, what is light, you know, in space? I have a sense of what light is here, but what is it in space? And so there's no way when you sit there and you're contemplating and you're watching the solstice that these kind of questions don't come into mind. And you realize that life is such an adventure. But not only is it an adventure, it could be dangerous. And it could be something that you're not ready to deal with. So you have to go deep within. And this is what this period is about. And at this time of year, many times that they would have very important events. And so people would get married at this time of year. And they would certainly light the Yule log because that was the tradition, the Christmas tree or the Yule log. And people would jump over it. And if they jumped over it in many cultures, that meant that that couple was married. And so it's just a wonderful time that you look up and you not only see what people saw throughout history, but the maps of the stars. So you can navigate using, you know, the North Star or the Southern Cross, or when you should plant this crop or when you should cultivate it, et cetera. But also you had your own personal evaluation of what what you were doing. Were you really happy? Could you change that? What was your meaning to your life? And so let's give a listen to Benton amongst the priest. And this is the Burns Sisters. I love that. Love their harmonies. And the kids are first going to, you know, give a little intro. And then let's listen to the Tibetan priest. Burns Sisters, it's the... it's the kids talking.
The song we love.
No, not the song we love, but it's the kids.
Christmas.
The kids, it's the last one. The last one on the CD. Okay, well, that's okay. Let's get to Christmas tree. Let's get to Christmas tree.
These are the Tibetan monks.
Yeah, they're chanting.
They're chanting for peace.
We wish all children everywhere for peace and love.
Every parent should be helping their child and being nice to them.
I think we would like everyone to have great food and healthy people for all our life.
I would like everyone to be happy and nobody to be sad.
tell me, who would
we wish you a Merry Christmas,
Happy Hanukkah, and a Happy Holidays, too.
Tashidelek.
And a Happy New Year.
Oops, sorry, I wouldn't want to cut those kids off. they really have the spirit of Christmas. I really think this time is for children. I really do. And thank God we've got them, because they keep our eyes on the prize of what really is important in life. And we tend to get distracted way too easily, and we get into wars and all kinds of really bad things. But anyway, who would have thought, really? You know, I mean, the design of the universe always amazes me. And what amazes me most about it is that it's constantly in motion. It never stands still. And who would think that our Earth would be rotating on an axis? And so when it gets to the southern or the northernmost point of those axes, it kind of comes to an end. And so you get the longest night or the shortest day. And that's what we're dealing with, solstice. So have your pick, the shortest day or the longest night. I don't know. I kind of like the longest night. Because to me, it has that kind of reflective, you know, deep mystery to it. And I really think it's fun to go into the mystery of this time. But actually, the main purpose of this show, keeping with the theme of this show, is that we want to give you some tips, because it really is really important, particularly with the crisis we have right now of our climate change, sustainable ways that we can do everything possibly that we can to try and sustain this planet. And so, Arlene, with that in mind, we have 12 sustainable tips for you. And so why don't you give the first tip?
Well, one of my favorite ways to be sustainable at this time of year is to either make my own wrapping paper or find ways to go without wrapping paper or use things like scarves, handkerchiefs, something else that turns out to be a useful part of the gift. And so there are many ways, but it is amazing. I was just amazed when I read this the other day. Over the holidays, about 227,000 miles. Did you get that? 227,000 miles worth of wrapping paper get thrown away. Enough to circle the world 9 times. Unfortunately, nearly all the wrapping paper you find in stores is not recyclable because of the shiny coatings, foils, and colors on it. And on top of that, most wrapping paper and ribbon is produced in the Asian sweatshops and shipped from there thousands of miles away. So again, using the fuel. What a shame. So much water, oil, and trees are wasted every year solely to produce something that exists only to be torn off and thrown away. Instead, there are ways to get creative. Wrap presents, as I mentioned, with old maps, the comic section of a newspaper, or children's artwork. Or use a scarf, attractive dish towel, bandana, or some other useful cloth item that is a gift in itself. And there's one other way to be sustainable with your gifts, and that is don't wrap them at all, but hide them around the house and have a scavenger hunt for the kids to find them. And so that's a fun, clever way to save waste, too.
And, lights, Christmas lights, right? And so everybody's into buying the LED lights because, yes, they do give. They can, you know, 90% less energy, and, you know, they can save you up to $50 during this holiday season. They don't release much heat. They'll last about 200,000 hours. But we all know that with Christmas lights, they are strung together, right? You just don't have one big light. And so lead, PCBs, phthalates, all of these are in those little connections between lights, whether they're incandescent or, you know, leads. And this is really a problem because if you really look in the warning of those, if you've ever read that, they tell you to be very careful to not inhale the vapors because they're really quite dangerous with all the PVCs and the phthalates. But also there's little dust that comes off all the time. And so be sure and don't touch the dust. And so also don't breathe it. So wear a mask and wear gloves and throw them away. And good luck with that. Arlene?
Then also you want to be real careful to keep those away from children because they suffer the most from lead damage.
Absolutely, from the phthalates particularly.
It's not just in Flint, Michigan that children are getting lead poisoning and lead in their brains. And in addition, another tip is to add organic and local foods to your holiday feast. You know, you not only, you don't have to grow it yourself and you don't have to go to Whole Foods or Sprouts to get it, although those are two basic good places found in many, many communities now. But there are lots of local stores too, Rollin' Oats, Chuck's, Abby's, Sweetwater Farm, and on and on. So you can look online for local organic foods, and you can even get the main part of your meal, the meats or fowl that you might be using with the vegetables and fruits. And so that's a good way to have a happy, healthy, and sustainable holiday.
And your Christmas tree, getting a Christmas tree. And, you know, that obviously it's better. Actually, I've had some really nice Christmas trees that have been little cypress trees and trees like that that I bring inside and then put back out on the porch. But you have to be careful because if you have an artificial tree, you have to make sure that that artificial tree will last at least 10 years or more. If not, then it really is not. It's not only not sustainable, but all the chemicals and all the plastics in that tree make it really very bad. And most of those will actually go into a landfill and be burned. But you're going to get your own tree, right? Well, that's a really good idea, except actually most tree farms, they will add up to 40 chemicals. 40 chemicals, you heard me right, for your Christmas tree. And so what are you going to do about that? Well, you can go, you can find an organic grower and, you know, use it. And you don't have to have it be a Christmas tree. You can use a little cypress or whatever native tree you really like. And and remember that also that artificial tree also not only has all kinds of chemicals with it, but it's, you know, it's got things so it won't burn, so it's not flammable. And so, by all means, be very careful what Christmas tree you're getting, if you possibly can. Get an organic one. Or, you know, you can make very imaginative trees that aren't trees. You can make them out of wine bottles and boxes. You can make them out of poinsettias. Be very imaginative, because actually burning the old Yule log in the solstice times, that actually, you know, they actually burned them, but that tradition went back for hundreds and thousands of years. And so they didn't have to worry about all the things, but you can cut it up and you can burn it, you know, and you can also feed it to your goats. But I don't know, if I had a goat, I wouldn't want to cut it up and feed it to any goat. I would like my goats more than that.
Okay. And when I was in Gainesville, I was introduced to a church market, and they sold all kinds of cypress trees for use as Christmas trees. They were in pots. And some of them were 5 or 6 feet tall. I mean, they were definitely not just little tabletops. They weren't the bald cypress that we think of as the only cypress that most of us know, but rather a cypress that stayed green. And so I purchased one the first year I was there, ended up still having it when I moved to Tampa, and used it here in Tampa for the next 3 years, until some chemicals fell off the roof of the building where I was living and killed it. But that's another possibility, and I know there are some growers here in this area that have those cypress trees mm-hmm. available for Christmas trees, too. And so then if you do have a real Christmas tree, if at all possible, you want to recycle it. And there are several ways to do that. You can cut it up and mulch it yourself, or give it to a company that mulches, or you can stick it out in your backyard and use it as a place to feed wildlife and other things until it kind of decomposes and ends up helping to fertilize the area. So recycle your Christmas tree. Don't just stick it in the city dump.
Good advice, Arlene. And so many people are going to get a new cell phone for Christmas. And I was shocked to find out that actually so many people just throw them away. when, you know, you can take them to Whole Foods, you can take them to Staples. There are so many places that you can recycle. Yeah, you know, your old cell phone, don't just throw it away. And I was shocked that actually the people will throw out cell phones weighing up to 6,500 tons. I mean, that's hard for me to imagine. So by all means, recycle your old cell phone.
Yes, and there are places like, I know that Whole Foods has a bin that takes mm-hmm. them, and then they
Staples.
get reworked too. So that's a good thing to do with both cell phones and tablets. Good idea, Mary. And, I forgot to turn the page. Sorry about that.
Uh-huh. You are going to offset holiday travel.
That's right. Well, you can, you know, do some things that will offset the carbon footprint that you leave by traveling long distances. In some ways, many of us have been, have taken care of that with COVID, and so we aren't doing as much traveling as we had in years past. But it's something to remember. There are some funds that do carbon offsetting, and there are also some ways of travel are less intensive on the environment than others. Even some airlines are less than other airlines, so you can go online and research that before you make your reservations if you're going to be flying somewhere.
And think of Greta Thunberg. How many of you have heard her talk? And how she really tried to point out to us what we were doing to our environment with air travel. And I'm not going on air travel, but there are some airlines now that they are very conscious and really they're using much more energy as opposed to actually fossil fuels. And so hopefully there are some fleets that they hope, in fact, the British fleet hopes to have all electric planes relatively soon, I think by 2035. But that's not enough time. I mean, we've got climate change right now. And so remember Greta and her efforts to warn us for so long. Be careful.
And, you know, you can make handcrafts and do-it-yourself gifts. There are many ways to do that. You can put photos in picture frames. You can make ornaments. You can make many, many other things. If you go to Pinterest, you can find all kinds of ideas, and that way you can avoid all of the wrappings and the travel and everything else that goes into things that you buy in the store. And are you going to talk a little bit about donating your time or money, Mayor?
Oh, yes, I'm going to try to. actually, there are lots of things you can do that actually, you've got far more talent than you realize. And so you can donate your time to all kinds of good causes now, particularly with children. There are all kinds of things that we can help kids with. And one thing great about kids is that if you really get them and you introduce them to aspects of the environment, you know, take them down if you've got a little lake near you or if you're near any of the, you know, nature trails, etc. Take them out and tell them what you know about nature. And, you know, when kids really learn it, they realize what a dynamic process it is and they'll love it all the rest of their lives and they'll protect it. And so really, it's really important in this time now. And there are all kinds of, particularly children that need your time. They need you to see them. And to recognize just how smart they are. They are so much smarter than we are. They really are right in tune with nature. And I'm afraid most of us have lost it a long time ago. And so really, you're going to gain far more than they are. But do take that time. It really is an important thing.
And then as we move up into the college and slightly after college generation, those are the people right now that are fighting the hardest for the environment. They realize that this is their future home and that it's not going to be here or it's going to be doing very poorly if they don't get in there and help fight to save it now.
Yeah, when we used to do the show, many, many times we talked to the Sunrise Movement. And those are the young people, you know, in our state and many other states. And they are the ones that are really out there fighting and so aware of it. And, you know, I think they're very kind to us. I wouldn't be nearly as kind to us because we're the ones that have screwed it up. But they are. And these young people are very, very good. But, you know, you can't... you know, that the biggest thing we have to do is not put it in the air in the first place. I mean, give me a break. The attitude that, you know, we'll come up with methods to get the carbon out of there and what, put it in the ground? You know, I mean, that would take like 63,000 pipelines. Just think of that. You know, I was reading that because I don't think you can expect the same people that caused the problem to solve it. And as I say, the biggest thing is don't put it up there in the first place. But really, one suggestion was that you bury it in the ground. 63,000 pipelines. I mean, get real. I mean, but anyway, okay, go ahead, Arlene.
Well, and another thing, if you don't feel you have the time or the creativity to make your own gifts, you can buy locally. You can buy eco-friendly gifts. You can donate your time. You can literally make up a little time card and wrap it up and give it to someone that might need some of your help doing something. Maybe it's an elderly person that would really appreciate your reading to them. Or maybe it's making some food for someone or fixing a dinner that they might need to entertain. All kinds of things, cleaning their house. All of those things can be donating your time issues that you can give to someone else and at the same time benefit the environment.
You know, that's a really good idea because then you'd really get to know some of your neighbors that you might not know as well. And because I thought do-it-yourself gifts, like actually that's what my thing was going to be, that make handcrafts and, you know, do-it-yourself gifts. And I thought, good luck if I'm the one doing it. But those are the kind of things you can do, too. And I chuckled because they give some examples here, and I thought, I can't believe this. I mean, I could put pictures in you know, in frames. And I know see a lot of older people, pictures, memories, that's really all very important. That's family. And you want family around you on Christmas, even if they can't physically be there. You want them in their pictures. But you can also make homemade vanilla extract. And I thought, oh, I don't think so. but I can make some soup. I do have some very good recipes from soup given to me by my mother, who was a superb cook. So anyway, there are lots of things you can do. Be imaginative.
There are. And, you know, we do some work with another website called Mobilized. And the person who has started that website talks frequently about his neighbor who celebrated his 101st anniversary birthday not long ago. Now, he needs some help here and there. He needs someone to take him to the doctor sometimes. He may need a ride somewhere else. He may need a little help around the house. Basically, he's independent. And the great thing about that type of gift is that we help people to stay independent. And I think most of us look at people stuck in nursing homes other places, and we think, ooh, I hope that doesn't happen to me. And so we have to work to stay independent.
Well, and there are some cases where a person really does need to be in assisted living or a nursing home. That's not to say that they're bad. But I think an awful lot of people, I agree, Arlene, would much prefer to stay in their home, and it's much better for them. And besides, if my neighbor were 101, you better believe I'd be taking notes. I'd want to know what he's doing, and I'm going to start doing it, you know. So, okay, go ahead.
I think you've got the last one, Mayor.
Well, I don't think we're at 12
yet. Yes, we are.
Oh, well, I guess I've missed a few. I'm only at number 10.
Okay, well, if you have something to say about that, go right ahead.
Well, but we've already said it. We're giving experiential gifts.
Okay.
And I think that that's kind of in that range, so okay. Oh, and then also we're purchasing eco-friendly and locally made gifts. And that is so important. I mean, you know, you think of all the big corporations, and you know what their main purpose is. And you know that if they squeeze out all the little guys, you know what's going to happen to their profits. And you know what's going to happen to our cost. And so shop local. These are your neighbors. These are your friends. This is your community. Community with a small C. and a democracy with a small D. And so take advantage of it and be part of the community you live in. Purchase eco-friendly and locally made gifts.
And if you, even if you don't belong to Sweetwater Farms, as a consumer of their vegetables, you can purchase some individually on the side, but they also have a few booths there most every weekend, and especially around the holidays. So there are some local gifts there that you can purchase.
Yeah, and I don't know why I'm stuck with making stuff, but also it's a really good idea, stocking stuffers. You know, make yummy natural treats. Well, I imagine you could buy some, which would be locally made, but I think it's a really good idea. You know, as long as you don't have a dog or a cat that might think, early Christmas for me. But I think that's a very good idea.
Sounds good to me. I could use some right now if you had it with you. So,
okay, I have lost all track of time. Give me an idea.
We have about 15 minutes.
Oh, okay. So there's some great music. But I think the one I want to, I think really one of my very favorite, actually, is Keisha Evans Lewis, I believe her name is. It's in Paul Winter's Consort. And you know that I think it's also great around the solstice time to realize that actually this was long before the birth of Christ. In fact, the Christian church is actually, in order to compete and be part of this festival, changed the birth of the date of the birth of Christ so it could coincide with the solstice celebrations and the Yule logs, etc. And so with that in mind, this song always makes me think of it, you know, the humble and keeping the eye. And always keep your eye on the humble because they really are the people. And so let's hear, keep your eye on the sparrow.
Why should I feel discouraged? And why? For heaven and hope.
Okay, people, let's make this Christmas really special.
And we have had some requests, Mary, for who did some of the songs. And so maybe you'd like to run through the two we had specific requests for were The Sparrow and The Byrne Sisters.
The Byrne Sisters, that's from their CD, Tradition. And it's a great old CD. It's still available. And The Sparrow is from the Paul Winter Concert Live. And there are quite a few versions of it. But usually they have, and you want the one with the sparrow. Paul Winter Concert Live. Okay.
I think it was Winter Solstice Live.
Yeah. And so let's go out with the Byrne Sisters this Christmas. Let's make it special, people.
Oh, these are the Tibetan monks.
Yeah, they're chanting.
They're chanting for peace.
We wish all children everywhere for peace and love.
Every parent should be helping their child and being nice to them.
I think we would like everyone to have great food and healthy people for all our life.
I would like everyone to be happy and nobody to be sad.
Thank you. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
I love the harmonies of the Bird Sisters. You can hear their mother was a very fine opera singer.
And a Happy New Year.
And so they were totally inspired by her. And she gave them the love, not only of the music, but the harmonies. And so when I hear the Byrne Sisters, I think of their beloved mother who died much too young from ovarian cancer. And so that CD really means a lot to me. And so I am hoping that we can get this CD to play because it's got great music on it. And I'm hoping that if it's nice, it'll give us Jane Seabury singing, "Are You Burning Little Candle?" And Bill is working over there very hard, and I think he has it, so let's give a listen.
Looks the wonder of the ancient old hands and the wisdom of their touch of the worried
has been my family for just years. I don't know if I could live in Tampa without WMNF. And so thank you so much for letting us come into your homes today. And do have just a splendid solstice and holiday season.
I echo that. You are listening to WMNF Tampa, our very favorite radio station. Thanks for listening.
WMNF 88.5, Tampa, Florida. You're